Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Forgotten Man, A New History of the Great Depression by Amity Schlaes is a history book that re-examines the American Great Depression through a distinctly free market lens. Published in 2007, it challenges the standard narrative that New Deal intervention was the main force that ended economic collapse. Instead, Schlaes argues that both Herbert Hoover and Franklin D. Roosevelt made policy choices that deepened uncertainty, discouraged investment, and extended hardship for ordinary Americans. The title refers to the worker, taxpayer, and small citizen whose interests were often overlooked in favor of large federal programs and political symbolism. Rather than presenting the 1930s as a simple story of rescue by government action, the book reconstructs the decade as a conflict over markets, state power, and economic recovery. Its purpose is both historical and interpretive to retell the Depression in a way that invites readers to question whether government activism actually delivered the results it promised. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a revisionist interpretation of the Great Depression. Schlaes's central move is to challenge the conventional view that the New Deal was the principal solution to the Depression. She does not deny the severity of the crisis, but she argues that the federal response often created more confusion than recovery. In her account, Hoover and Roosevelt both misread the economy by relying on policy tools that interfered with market adjustment. This revisionist frame makes the book stand out from standard textbook histories because it does not treat intervention as automatically beneficial. Instead, it asks whether well-intentioned policy can prolong stagnation when it weakens confidence and distorts incentives. The result is a history written as an argument about causation, what actually made the Depression last, and whether the usual heroes deserve their reputation. Readers are pushed to evaluate the 1930s not only by outcomes that were visible at the time, but by the longer economic consequences of political action. Secondly, the Forgotten Man as the moral center of the narrative. The book organizes its story around the idea of the Forgotten Man, meaning the ordinary Americans who bore the cost of government programs while remaining economically insecure themselves. This concept is more than a rhetorical device. It is the moral lens through which Schlaes evaluates policy. By focusing on workers without stable jobs, taxpayers, and small business owners, she shifts attention away from abstract macroeconomic debates and toward the lived burden of policy choices. The phrase captures a recurring concern in the book that public relief can be celebrated politically while leaving the people financing it worse off or still exposed to unemployment. This perspective gives the history an ethical edge because it suggests that recovery cannot be judged solely by government activity or political popularity. It must also be measured by whether ordinary citizens gain durable opportunity, security, and dignity. That emphasis helps explain why the book appeals to readers interested in both economics and civic accountability. Thirdly, government intervention, uncertainty, and the weakening of market recovery. A major theme in the book is that intervention did not simply add help to a failing economy. In many cases, it introduced uncertainty that discouraged private investment. Schlaes argues that shifting rules, aggressive regulation, and anti-business rhetoric made employers and investors less willing to commit capital. The Smoot-Hawley tariff and later New Deal experiments are presented as examples of policies that worsened the climate for recovery by making the economic environment less predictable. Her broader claim is that markets require confidence and stable expectations, especially during crisis, and that repeated political intervention can erode both. This argument is important because it reframes recovery as a coordination problem rather than a moral contest between good intentions and greed. The book insists that growth depends on private actors believing they can plan ahead, whether or not readers accept every conclusion. The analysis highlights a serious historical question: when does active government stabilize capitalism? And when does it make adjustment harder by replacing clear rules with constant improvisation? Fourthly, Wendell Willkie and the case for a smaller state. Schlaes uses Wendell Willkie as a counterexample to New Deal politics and as a symbol of the alternative she believes the era ignored. Willkie, especially in the 1940 context, represents a more limited government philosophy in which private enterprise rather than federal administration would drive recovery. His presence in the book matters because he gives Schlaes a positive model, not just a critique. Without such a figure, the book could become only an indictment of Hoover and Roosevelt. Instead, it presents a competing vision of American recovery based on market confidence, restraint, and decentralization. Willkie also helps show that the 1930s were not politically predetermined. Different leadership could have interpreted the crisis differently, and perhaps pursued a less interventionist course. By including him, Schlaes turns the book from a simple exposé into a political argument about what democratic leadership should have done in a depression. The emphasis on Willkie reinforces the book's broader belief that recovery is more likely when government steps back enough for business and individual initiative to function. Lastly, a controversial book in economic history and public debate, The Forgotten Man became influential not only because of its interpretation, but because it entered public debate about modern stimulus and government spending. Conservative politicians, commentators, and policymakers embraced it as a historical warning against repeating New Deal-style intervention. At the same time, economists and historians criticized the book for selective use of evidence and for understating the case that fiscal stimulus might have helped more if it had been tried differently. This controversy is part of the book's significance. It shows that the work is not just a retelling of the past, but a contribution to contemporary arguments about policy, taxes, regulation, and recovery. Readers encounter a book that is deliberately argumentative, designed to challenge consensus and provoke reconsideration of familiar economic lessons. Its lasting importance lies partly in that role it became a reference point whenever people discussed whether governments should respond to recessions with spending and intervention or with restraint and market repair. That makes the book historically important even for readers who disagree with its conclusions. In conclusion, The Forgotten Man is best suited for readers who want a serious, argument-driven history of the Great Depression rather than a neutral survey of the era. It will be especially valuable to students of American economic history, readers interested in conservative or market-oriented ideas, and anyone trying to understand how the New Deal is debated beyond standard classroom narratives. The book's practical value is that it forces readers to think carefully about the unintended consequences of policy, the limits of government planning, and the importance of private confidence in economic recovery. Its intellectual value comes from its willingness to challenge one of the most familiar stories in modern U.S. history. Compared with many Depression histories, Schlaese's book is more explicitly interpretive and more focused on the relationship between policy and incentives. That gives it a sharper thesis and a clearer identity. Even critics acknowledge that it is readable, wide-ranging, and historically ambitious. For readers who want a revisionist account that connects the 1930s to modern debates over stimulus and state power, it stands out as one of the most influential books in its category. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.